Please turn in your Bibles to the Gospel according to John chapter 11. The Gospel according to John chapter 11. We shall read together from verse 1 to verse 16, and I'm using the ESV this morning. Now a certain man was ill, Lazarus of Bethany, the village of Mary and her sister Martha. It was Mary who anointed the Lord with ointment and wiped his feet with her hair, whose brother Lazarus was ill. So the sister sent to him, saying, Lord, he whom you love is ill. But when Jesus heard it, he said, this illness does not lead to death. It is for the glory of God, so that the Son of God may be glorified through it. Now Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. So when he heard that Lazarus was ill, he stayed 2 days longer in the place where he was. Then after this, he said to the disciple, let us go to Judea again. The disciple said to him, Rabbi, the Jews were just now seeking to stone you, and you are going there again. Jesus answered, are there not 12 hours in the day? If anyone walks in the day, he does not stumble because he sees the light of this world. But if anyone walks in the night, he stumbles because the light is not in him. After saying these things, he said to them, our friend Lazarus has fallen asleep, but I go to awaken him. The disciples said to him, Lord, if he has fallen asleep, he will recover. Now Jesus has spoken of his death, but they thought that he meant taking rest in sleep. Then Jesus told them plainly, Lazarus has died. And for your sake, I am glad that I was not there, so that you may believe. But let us go to him. So Thomas, called the twin, said to his fellow disciples, let us also go, that we may die with him. May the good Lord add a blessing to the reading of his word. The title of this message this morning, In Sickness and in Health. I'm quite sure that you have heard this phrase before. This is a common phrase in most of our wedding ceremonies this day, especially in our country and abroad, in sickness and in health. This is a vow which the people take in honor of their wedding. These are words that people speak in terms of their commitment to one another in the marriage. But we all know that not every wedded couple keep these words, in sickness and in health. We're living in a culture where situation determines love. If you want to test that, buy a beautiful car. You know a beautiful car, a Nissan Livina. Buy a beautiful car. Then you will see how many friends you will have. Let's see how many people come and claim that they love you, they like you. And let this car go away, or get rid of the car and start catching a train and start using a taxi. And let us see again how many people will come to you and say we love you. How many people will come to you and say we still care for you. Sadly, that it is the life that we live in this world. A life of hypocrisy. People are just not, they are just not fair. So this morning, I want to show to you a man who loves us unconditionally. A man who loves us in sickness and in health. And his name is the Lord Jesus Christ. It is normal today for people to question the love between one another, and then they learn to question the love of God to them, especially when people are going through trials. People begin to question the love of God. When people are going through pain, they begin to question the love of God. When they go through suffering, when they are sick, when someone is sick in the home, people will do question the love of God. They ask this ignorant question, where is God? Where is God? Maybe you have also asked that question before, Where is God? Where is Jesus when I suffer like this? Some may even go to an extent to say, why do bad things happen to good people? Although we all know that there is no good person in the world, but we do ask this question. It is normal today to ask this unwise question. Where is God when we suffer like this? Where is God when we have just preached over 2 years to everybody in this place? We went house to house. We called people unto the Lord. Where is God where we don't see the fruit of our labor? Where is God where people leave us and forsake us and they go back to their sin? Where is God when people go back to the so-called their own churches again? Where is God when we suffer and when we go through serious sickness? Where is God? We ask this question. Sometimes we don't say it with our mouth, but in our minds and in our hearts, we do ask this question. Where is God? In verse 21, Martha seems to say a similar way. It says, Lord, if you have been here, my brother will not have died. In other words, Lord, where were you? In other words, we have sent messages to you, O God. We have sent so many prayers to you, our Lord, but you did not answer. We see in verse number 3, the Bible tells us that Martha and Mary sent a message to the Lord Jesus Christ saying, Lord, he whom you love, that is Lazarus, he whom you love is ill. We have sent these messages to you, God. We have sent our prayers. We have prayed day and night. But we have not found any answer. Have you been in such a situation, my friend, where we have prayed so earnestly, where we have prayed and be so convinced that the Lord has heard your prayer, but you see no answer? You have prayed over again and again, and you begin to wonder if someone is really hearing you, if someone really cares, if God is actually there. This is the kind of situation that we see in this text before us this morning. This morning, we are introduced to a very happy family, actually. This is a very happy family. This is a very happy home. A home of Lazarus, Martha, and Mary. A home that is not divided, an undivided home. A home where a brother and two sisters were living in harmony. As the scripture says, it is a blessing and it is good for brothers and sisters to live in harmony. So we find these people living in harmony. This is a united house where brother and sister care for one another. A house of warmth, a house of peace, a house where visitors were welcome. A house and a home of great hospitality. We are introduced to this great model of home where Christ is central. A great model of home where God takes part in their lives. So this home, we are told that it was also known to many of the Jews. They even came in numbers at the funeral of Lazarus. And we can see that this home was also special in the eyes of the Lord. And I'm convinced, my brothers and sisters, that Jesus enjoys seeing happy homes. I am convinced that we should strive to have happy homes and happy families, looking after each other, brothers and sisters in the flesh, brothers and sisters in the spirit, in the Lord. I am convinced that the Lord wants to see such things as God's people. We should be those who are more hospitable, those who welcome strangers in our own houses. This is the kind of a family that we see before us. But that, the fact that they were a hospitable family, the fact that they were a happy family, it is not the reason why Jesus loved them. It is not that reason. The Bible tells us that Christ loved his people first. So we love him because he loved us first. The reason why Christ loved them is more because they had the heart of God. If we will have the heart of God, it is more because they devoted their time to the word of God. They knew who Jesus was. They could see down the pages of the Old Testament, bringing up the story of Jesus Christ, and they believed that this was the Messiah. That's what they believed. So their devotion in the eyes of the Lord was evident. It is good, brothers and sisters, to have a happy home. But a blessed and a happy home is a home that has the love of Christ. A home that devotes its time for Jesus. A home that loves the ways of God. A home that preaches the gospel. A home that sends out their devotions to the Lord each and every day. In whatever they do it for pleasing the Lord. We see in Psalm 11, verse 7, how the Lord feels about such a people. People who devote their love to God. In Psalm chapter number 11, we read, it says, "For the Lord is righteous, he loves righteous deeds. The upright shall behold his face." The Lord is righteous. So we see that our good deeds begins from our devotion to the Lord. Our good deeds begins when we live righteous before God, because God loves righteous people. God loves people who are aiming in their lives to be whole, as we were praying outside there, my friend, my brother Russ, he brings this prayer request that let us pray that the church may be pure, because God loves a pure church, God loves a pure family, God loves a family that loves the Lord. So we see that our devotion begins with our faith in the Lord. Our devotion begins with our love for God, our love for one another, our love for the church. So, brothers and sisters, I can say to you, it is good to love the Lord. But we see in this text before us this morning, that though it is pleasing to love the Lord, though it is pleasing to devote your time to the Lord Jesus Christ, though it is pleasing to be committed to Him, to be a happy family, to have a happy home, though it is pleasing before the eyes of the Lord to love Him with all our hearts and all our minds and all our strength, but there is no family in the world that will not go through suffering. There's no family in the world that will not face sickness and death. Regardless of how much happy you are as a family, regardless of how much known you are as a family, regardless of your devotion to the Lord as a person and as a family, regardless of how much you love Christ, regardless of how much Christ loves you, there is no family in the world that cannot go, that will not go through sickness and death. In verse 3, we are told that Lazarus got ill. And her sisters sent a message to the Lord Jesus Christ saying, "Lord, he whom you love is ill." In verse number 5, we are also told that Jesus loved Martha and Mary and he loved Lazarus. Do we see the beauty, brothers and sisters, to have fellowship with the Lord? Do we see the beauty, my friends, to have a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ? Because in verse 3, we can see that Martha and Mary had someone they can call upon in the days of trouble. They had someone to call upon in the days of suffering. They had someone to depend on. They had someone they have trusted. And his name is Jesus Christ, as the scripture says in verse 15 of chapter 5 of the book of Psalms. If we can all open the book of Psalms and we read chapter 15. Sorry, Psalms 50, verse 15. Not chapter 15. Let us see there what the Lord says. Because I'm saying to you, Martha and Mary had the privilege of having a relationship with Jesus. They had the privilege then of having someone they can call upon in the times of trouble, in the times of trial. What does God say? My Bible says, "Call upon me in the days of trouble, I will deliver you, and you shall glorify me." Does your Bible say the same? Does your Bible say the same? "Call upon me in the days of trouble, and I, the Lord, will deliver you." So who delivers his people? The Lord delivers his people. Who shall we call upon? We are calling upon the Lord in the days of trouble, in the days of pain, in the days of suffering. But we see in this text where we have just read in the scripture, where we just read this morning, that when they call to the Lord Jesus Christ, when they call to Jesus, Jesus did not answer immediately. Jesus did not even come to them. Is that not surprising? Call upon me in the days of trouble. But here, they're calling on Jesus. They're sending messages to the Lord Jesus Christ. But the Lord Jesus Christ did not come to him. Not because he was busy. He was not busy. What a troubling thing that should have been to Martha and Mary. What a disturbing reality that it is for you even today as you sit here hoping that the things that you pray for, they can have answers immediately. Expecting an immediate answer from the Lord. Expecting a quick reply from heaven. But Jesus took his own time and he did not come. The Bible says he stayed there for 2 days, even more. 2 more days. It says he loved Martha. He loved Mary. He loved Lazarus. And here, when we look at this text, we realize, we check the Greek. Those who have got studies, we check the Greek. And we realize that it speaks of a continued love. Lord Jesus Christ loved his people continuously. It speaks of a continued love of the Lord Jesus Christ to this family. Of the Lord Jesus Christ to any other family that is in the Lord. But he did not come immediately. And that is what I want us to investigate this morning. That is what I want us to look at, because the scripture says, Jesus said he didn't come, and he says this illness does not lead to death. It is to glorify God so that the Son may be also glorified. The scripture says when he heard that Lazarus was ill, he stayed there for 2 more days. The question that is in our minds now, the question that is in our hearts, that should be in our hearts right now. What kind of love is this? He loved his people. He had great compassion for his people. He had great affection for his people. But he still stayed for two more days. There are 2 things I want us to learn this morning. Just 2 things. First is that Jesus' love is not determined by an agent response. Jesus' love is not determined by an agent response. That is normally what we seek for. That is normally how we feel. That is normally how we want. We want an agent response. We want a quick answer from heaven. And as you look at this story, you might conclude as well that Jesus did not attend Martha and Mary's prayer request at once. He did not stand up where he was and immediately ran to where he was called. He did not stand up. He stood and sat there and he said, this illness will not end this unto death. He did not do as we would have expected him to do. He did not do as the people expected him to do. In verse 36 of the very same chapter, we see Jesus then, after Lazarus has died, he comes to the house and he finds, while he was still far away, Martha comes to him and he finds Martha weeping, and the Jews, they are weeping there, consoling this family, and the Bible tells us that Jesus also wept. And when the Jews saw Jesus weeping, they said to one another, see how he loved him. See how he loved him. And others, they asked actually, will this man who gave sight to other people, would he not have come and raised him, would not have come and give him health? Because that's normally how we feel. We feel that when Jesus loves us, Jesus must act immediately. So Lazarus suffered sickness and he suffered death. But Jesus Christ took his own time, not because he was busy. And at the same time, will not dare to say he was compelled to come quickly. No, he was not compelled to come quickly. Jesus is not compelled to do anything for us as quick as we would like him to do. He was not compelled. But we can say we did expect the Lord Jesus Christ to come there immediately, because he claimed that he loved the family. But in also saying that we expect that Jesus Christ will have gone there immediately, we are assuming that a quick response proves love. That is an assumption.
So we're assuming when we say he should have gone there quick, that a quick response then proves love.
Whether a quick response proves love or not, it is frustrating when you pray and you have no answers. Especially these days when we are told that when you pray in the name of Jesus, when you bind and loose some stuff, things will come quick. It's frustrating for the believers today and those who want to come to Christ when they pray and eagerly ask for these things and they get nothing. Whether agency proves love or not, it is frustrating. So you think it's frustrating in a way that you think of Job. We remember Job, that servant of God, Job. Job prayed for so long to be healed. He prayed for so long that the Lord may consider him and heal his body. But he prayed in vain. It was not a quick response. That servant of the Lord, we know that he had not sinned, but he was afflicted by the devil. He was afflicted and he suffered physically, he suffered emotionally. He even thought, Job even thought, in the Bible it is recorded in chapter number 19, it is recorded that Job thought that God was against him. God hated him. He thought the way he suffered, because the man walked with God all his life, but he was suffering. But I'm glad that Job, at the end, he did see the light and say, I know my Redeemer lives. So brothers and sisters, we cannot act like we don't ask these questions at times. We cannot act that we do not say, where is God when we suffer? Because when sorrow surrounds you, when sorrow overwhelms your life, you ask this question, and this sorrow will come to you, will take on your life, regardless of how much you pray, regardless of how much faithful you are, sorrows will come. So I submit to you this morning, my friends, that the silence of the Lord Jesus Christ did not mean to this family that he was silent. And I'm going to prove to you, it did not mean that he was silent. When everybody thought he didn't come immediately, when you look in your own life and you see the struggles in your own life and you pray and nothing has happened, it doesn't mean that the Lord Jesus Christ is silent, because he is just silent. His silence does not mean he's silent at all. When we consider this scripture before us this morning, we see this mystical, we see this amazing mystery and the amazing answer that he brings in verse number 4. In verse 4, we consider two things. In verse 4, it says in verse 4, 1, the illness will not lead to death. 2, it is for the glory of God. And that's hard for us to understand. But that is exactly what kept Jesus where he was. Because the sickness was not going to lead to death. And it was for the glory of God. He kept Jesus where he was, while his servant, while his friend, while his brother Lazarus suffered. While Mary and Martha waited for the answer from heaven, while Mary and Martha suffered sorrow and pain, Jesus remained where he was. The question is, why did he remain where he was? And the answer is found in the word of God. He wanted to show what true love is. As I just said, that Christ's love is not determined by an agent's response. So the Lord Jesus Christ wanted to show what true love is, what it looks like. Because we see that in the raising of Lazarus, Jesus will prove his love and his commitment to the sheep and his commitment to us all. He wanted to display his power to raise people from the dead. He wanted people to know that he is the Messiah. He is the one who was to come and give life to people and give life to those who are dead in their sin and transgressions. He knew that Lazarus will die. Though he said, this death this sickness will not end unto death. But he knew that Lazarus will die. But also he knew he will raise Lazarus from the dead, because that is greater love, my friends. If Christ will raise you from the dead, As the scripture says, God so loved the world that he gave with his only begotten son, so that whosoever believes in him may not perish, but have eternal life. That is the blessed hope, the hope of resurrection, the hope of being raised from the dead, the peace that surpasses all understanding. The love of God is in the life of Christ that he gives to us, and we are raised from the dead. So we see the gift of life in Christ Jesus our Lord. Jesus raised Lazarus to life again. Lazarus lived after death in communion with the Lord. So when you are raised from the dead, we live in communion with the Lord. Also, he lived in fellowship with the other believers. So when you are raised from the dead, you not only live in communion with the Lord, you must also live in fellowship with the brothers, especially in the Lord. So in this, we see a picture of our own resurrection. That once we are resurrected by Christ, we enjoy life. Life in the Spirit. We walk by the Spirit and we don't walk by sight. We don't walk by flesh. We become new creatures, those who now do the will of God. Our life changes completely. We produce the fruit of the Spirit. We have self-control. We have gentleness. We have the love of God. We have love for one another. When we are raised from the dead, we do not continue in sin. We do not remain in bondage of evil. Our wickedness and our sin is taken away. And you are wondering what I'm talking about. I'm talking about being raised unto life. Because the Bible says in Adam we all died. In Adam we all died. We sinned. In Adam we are all looking like dead people before the Lord. Not only looking, but we are dead people before the Lord, unless the life of Christ come into our lives and we are raised from the dead and we live, then we live in communion with the Lord and we live in communion with our brothers and sisters and in fellowship with the brothers and sisters. So we come to see that when we are raised from the dead, we begin to enjoy life. And we realize that enjoying life is not really to have a beautiful car like a Nissan Luvina. No. Being raised from the dead is not to enjoy life, is not to have things going your own way, not to have enemies. To enjoy life is to live a life in Christ, by Christ, for Christ. It is to be raised from the dead. That is enjoying life. That is what Christ wants us to see. That is what Christ wants us to have in our own lives. Yeah, enjoying life, being raised from the dead. You see that picture in this story of Lazarus. So this resurrection points us to our resurrection from the dead, our resurrection from sin and transgression. So we are raised perfectly and complete before God. When Christ gives us salvation, when we believe in him, when we put our faith and we repent from our sin, we are raised completely before him. We will no longer suffer spiritual sickness, which is symbolized by the sickness of Lazarus that led Lazarus to death. So we do not suffer spiritual sickness. The soul is sick. The Bible said the soul is sick. It's dead. So when we are raised to life, we don't suffer spiritual sickness that leads to spiritual death again. But we know that we will also die in the body, so that when we raise, we may be raised with him when he comes again at the end. But what a glorious thing it is to die knowing that you are dying in the Lord. What a glorious thing it is to know that you die and your name is written in the book of life. So we know that God, when we come to Christ, he raised us from the dead. By only coming to Jesus, by only believing in Jesus, by only remaining in Jesus, by trusting and depending upon the Lord Jesus Christ. He gives us the gift of life. He gives us regeneration. And the Bible says, and there is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus our Lord. Romans chapter 8, verse 1. No condemnation anymore. When they die, they don't die to be condemned. They die to have again life. You see that same picture here. We see the message of God in this story of Lazarus. We see the great grace of our God calling sinners to Him, coming into the world and raising us to life, bringing those who are His enemies to Himself, that they may have life without deserving it. We don't see Lazarus working something out that Jesus Christ may raise him from the dead. There's nothing that Lazarus has to work out. But Christ came and still stood by his tomb. In verse number 43, we are told that he stood there and with a loud voice, and he shouted, "Lazarus, come out." He called him by name. The Bible tells us that even also in salvation, when we come to Him, when He raises us from the spiritual dead, He calls us by name because He knows our name. He says, "I know my sheep and I call them by name. They know me, they follow me." That is Christ Jesus our Lord. So this resurrection points us then to that fact of this gift of eternal life. This life in the Spirit, this life with God. And also the life that is still to be found, that is still to be enjoyed in glorification when Christ returns. So, we see this great and marvelous thing that it is to be in Christ Jesus our Lord. How beautiful it is to share in the blessing of eternal life. If we will believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, He raised Lazarus from the dead so He can raise you from your own dead. He did something that no one has ever done before. Instead of giving Lazarus physical health as the sisters have asked, as everybody else asked, instead of giving Lazarus that temporal gift, He gave Lazarus a permanent gift. He gave Lazarus life, a gift of life, which many people don't want. If they did want, they would have responded to the gospel that we preach. As I'm shouting aloud, I know someone is hearing me. Come to Jesus. That's the life that Christ gives. Instead of giving that temporal life, that temporal gift, I mean, of being given health, He gave life. And you see that Lazarus, he died in sickness and he died in weakness, but he was raised to life, to live again. Here we see a picture of how deep we were in our sin. Here we see a picture of how much sin has corrupted us, of how sin has weakened us, because sin has brought suffering and pain and death in our lives. It also brought sorrows, weeping and mourning in the families. That is sin. Sin has lifted us up. Sin has lifted us up in a position where we now begin to question God. We ask God now, "God, where were you? God, why don't you do this and that?" That is because sin has lifted us up, but we don't only see how sin has worked in our lives. In this story, we also see the grace and the love of God. We see that God overlooks sin. We see that God overlooks our weaknesses because it brings us back to life. So what a great joy it is, brothers and sisters, to be in the Lord. For those who have died and those who will die in the Lord, they have already passed through death and they have entered into eternal life. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah and amen for the power of Jesus Christ our Lord. So what I want to emphasize quickly before I move to my second point, let us not try to determine the love of Christ by our own standards. Let us not try to determine the love of Christ by our own expectation. We should know that the Lord Jesus Christ does not answer prayers as expected sometimes, but He still loves us because He's got better and greater things for us. But we must also know that we must come to the Lord in prayer. We must bring those prayers. The Bible says, bring them, make them known unto the Lord. We must know that God has got a better plan for us as Christians. We must know that when it seems that He's not answering, He's working out something behind the scene to bless you. Keep knocking at that door. Keep crying to the Lord. But know that at times He doesn't answer immediately. But that doesn't mean He's lacking compassion for you. It doesn't mean He doesn't love us. It doesn't mean He doesn't care. that he is a caring God. He is a loving God. In verse number 11, Lazarus died, and the Lord Jesus Christ says to his disciples, I go to awake him. I go to give him life now. That is what Jesus Christ came to do. He came to awaken us from our own death in sin, our own death in transgressions. He came to give us life. He says in Mark, he says to Martha in verse 25, I am the resurrection and I am the life. Whosoever believes in me, though he dies, yet shall live again. We see the blessed hope of the resurrection of the dead. We see what we are waiting for. Friends, we are waiting to be raised again when we die from this world. And the only way we can be raised again when we die from this world is to give our lives to the Lord Jesus Christ, is to command our lives to him, is to commit ourselves to the King of Glory, is to call upon him in the days of trouble, is to call upon him now while we are still sick in our souls, those who are still sick in their souls, and to praise his holy name for those who have been raised from the dead. So it is not true that a quick response proves the love of God, but it is true that the gift of life determines the love of Christ. Secondly, I want you to learn this morning that Jesus' love is not determined by lack of suffering. Jesus' love is not determined by lack of suffering. Today we are being told by many would like us to believe that if we are a Christian, we are not supposed to suffer. If you are a Christian, we are not supposed to be sick. They speak of a complete physical healing in the atonement. What they mean is that when Jesus Christ died at the cross, he also died for our sicknesses, that when we are in Christ, we must never be sick. That's what they preach. Today, they claim that if you believe, if you have faith in God, you must be healed. You must not be sick. They say if you believe in God, you can speak words of life from your mouth. They will quote verses from Proverbs and say the power of life is in the tongue and so on, telling you that when a Christian, you must not be sick. What a deception that is. What we see on our national television is not true. The Bible does not teach that. Of course, Christians do get sick. Of course, there are many Christians who died while they were sick. And if Christians really were not supposed to be dead, to be sick and be dead, why would God even say to the prophet, to the apostle James in chapter 5, verse 14 and 16, why would he say, if anyone among you is sick, call the elders that they may lay their hands upon him? Why would he even say that if we are not supposed to be sick? Deception. Sickness proves that we are weak. It proves our mortality. It proves that we are not yet perfect. There's a Christ who shall bring us to perfection. When he comes, we shall glorify us. We will be brought unto glory forever. We have been told this thing. And if that was true, that Christians must not be sick, why is Epaphroditus? That's a long name. Why is Epaphroditus in the book of Philippians chapter 2, a servant that works so well with the apostle Paul, why did he get sick? When we read this, verse 26 and verse 27, the apostle Paul writes to the Philippians chapter 2, he says, you have heard that Epaphroditus is sick. In verse 27, he says, indeed he is sick. Indeed he was sick. Actually, that's what he says. Indeed he was sick and even nearly to death. But God has had mercy on him. So God has mercy on his people. God give us healing through his divine providence. It is God who heals us because God is love, not because God is compelled, not because it proves that God loves us. We have received a testimony from Bethany. Two people were suffering so much of cancer for so long, and God has healed them. And we praise the Lord for it. I stand before you as a testimony. I spent 2.5 months in the hospital. The doctors did not even know what was happening with me. I was lying there there's my friend, there's my wife, can tell you. I did not know. I was told I'm dying. And I called a friend of mine, and he came and took me from the hospital without their consent. 3 days when I was home, I was alive, and I'm still alive. Yes, years later, I suffered and I was diagnosed with brain tumor. You know what brain tumor? Brain tumor is hectic, severe in the head. You feel like dying now. I was told I was going to live for 30 days. I'm still alive today. I don't have it. Nobody healed me, but God did. So we do not dare say that God doesn't heal. But my point is, it is not what proves His love for us. That is not how we measure His grace for us. So looking at the story of Lazarus, we can see that it is right for Christians to come to God and ask for healing. Because here is Mary asking Jesus that He may heal Lazarus. James chapter 5 also agrees that we must come to Christ for healing. So in this story, we don't see Jesus rushing and jumping to go and heal Lazarus. He took His time. The question is why? We have already answered. So that many people may see the power of Christ. So we can see the love of Christ, my friends, that it is not measured, it is not determined by circumstances and situations of our life, by sickness and weakness and even death. You see that? And remember this family, if I can just remind you, they suffered this sickness, but this family loved God. This was a family who devoted their time to the Lord. But even though Jesus Christ loved this family, even though Jesus Christ cared for this family, they still suffered loss. Lazarus still got sick. They suffered great sorrow. But in the midst of that, we also see, Bazalwane, let us learn, in the midst of that, when Lazarus was sick, we see a picture of how the church should respond. This is how we should respond as the church to those who are sick among us, those who are dead, who have death in their families. We see that the Jews came to console Martha and Mary. People must come to console us when we are sick. People must come to pray for us. When we are dead, people must come to bury us. But I think this is a plan that Jesus Christ actually had, to stay for 2 more days so that people may come to console Martha and Mary. So Jesus Christ wanted to see a lot of people there. He wanted a lot of people to see the miraculous bringing unto life of Lazarus, so that people may see Christ and believe that He is the Son of God, so that people may hear the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, so that people may come to life themselves. And we are told, when we read this story, that not everybody believed even after Jesus Christ raised Lazarus from the dead. So, Bazalwane, my friends, my brothers, my sisters, even though people don't believe, but I can tell you, it is good to continue with the work of God. The gospel must still be preached. The work of the kingdom of God must continue. People must still be confronted with the truth. People must still know the Lord Jesus Christ. People must still know their sin. People must still know that there is only one way unto God. Jesus Christ is the way, the truth, and the life. He is the resurrection and His life. So in sickness and in suffering, it doesn't matter. It doesn't prove that God doesn't love us. It doesn't prove that God doesn't care about us. But it does tell us that at the end of the day, He has a plan for us. At the end of the day, He remains faithful to us. So if you are sick and you are suffering this morning among us, if you are sick and you are suffering this day among us, Jesus still loves you. Jesus still cares. And prove that by dying at the cross, so that you may see God. And above all, we need to know, Bazalwane, coming to the Lord does not mean you will not suffer. It doesn't mean you will not be sick. But we know that in sickness and in health, He remains loving. In sickness and in health, He remains faithful. In sickness and in health, we can still call upon the name of Jesus. He abides Himself for us in this world. So in the times of sorrow, in the times of suffering, call upon the name of the Lord, as Martha and Mary called. But you must know also that in the times of your own
suffering and sorrow of the spirit in the time where your spirit, your soul is still dead in sin, the Lord Jesus Christ still calls. He calls and says, come to me, all you who are heavy laden, you who labor, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke and learn from me. I'm gentle and lowly in heart. I will give you rest, the rest of your soul. Another scripture says, seek him while he's still found. Call upon him while he's still near. So, don't let your judgment deceive you. His silence does not mean he doesn't care. His silence doesn't mean he's not there. Let us not put our own judgment, but we must know that soon and very soon our Lord will hear us and our Lord will answer us, especially those who are sick in the soul, those who are still sinking in their sin, those who have not given their lives to the Lord Jesus Christ. He comes to awaken us. He comes to give us life. Let me close by saying, Bazalwane, the love of Christ, I'm just reminding you, it is not determined by an urgent response. It is not determined by a quick answer from heaven. The love of Christ is not determined by suffering and sickness. But the love of Christ is determined by the gift of life. The love of Christ is determined by what Christ gives to us. He has given us grace that we may be called to be the children of God. We are adopted to the family of God. That's love. So, do we have such a life in Christ? A life where you have received life. What will you ask of the Lord Jesus Christ? And how would you ask of the Lord Jesus Christ? What will you ask? Will you ask for temporal stuff or will you ask for permanent stuff? Martha came and Mary, they sent messages. They said, Lord, he whom you love is ill. Come and heal him. But Jesus Christ says, I know something that you need more than that. I know something that I can give to you that can last forever. Will you ask for this thing then that lasts forever? He gave Lazarus a gift of life again. He raised Lazarus from the dead. So it is a call to us to lift up our eyes and our hands and our hands of our hearts to the God who is in heaven. And call unto him in the times and the days of trouble, in the times of suffering, especially in the weakness of the body and in sorrow, and especially when we are sinking in sin. We must know that he's got better plans for us. He loves us. He gives us better gifts. He gives us good gifts. He gives us everlasting gifts, and that is the gift of life. In sickness and in health, he remains loving, he remains faithful. May the good Lord bless you as you meditate on these things and think of these things throughout the week. Amen. Let's pray. Our gracious and our wonderful God, thank you, our Savior, for this wonderful gathering where we come to be reminded of your words. Thank you, Lord, for such beautiful words that you have reminded us this morning. That you love us, you care for us, you give us what is great and good for us. You raise us from the dead. Even now we are still raised and seated at the throne of Christ with Christ. We rule forever with him. And we reign with Christ. Thank you for such a gift, O God. Bring all those, Heavenly Father, who have heard this word and have not come to Christ. May they call upon you even now. May they seek on you. May they seek for you. While we are still near, may they recognize you as the resurrection and life, as the only way unto heaven. In Jesus' name, we all say amen.
Amen.
Now, may the God of peace, who brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus Christ, the great shepherd of the sheep by the blood of eternal covenant, equip you with every good that you may do his will, working in us that which is pleasing in his sight, through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen.
Amen.
May the good Lord bless you. May I see you again next week.